would you please stand? And in an attitude of prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask you to first of all pray for yourself. Then I want you to ask, I want you to voice a prayer just in your heart for the person on either side of you. You may not know them, but God knows them. And I want you to just pray that the Holy Spirit of the living God will fall fresh and anew on you today, and that you will just push everything out of your mind this morning that is crowding your mind and trying to take the place of what God wants to speak to your heart today. Would you bow with me as we pray, and as you pray for yourself and pray for your pastor and pray for the person on either side of you this morning, that God would take and reveal to you something today that you can apply to your heart and life. Father God, as we pause together this morning, as we intercede on behalf of others today, those around us, Father, ourselves, how we pray, O God, that in these quiet moments, that the still small voice of the living God would speak to our hearts. Father, that we would be challenged today from the message of this Old Testament story that has so many applicable truths that are as relevant as tomorrow's newspaper. God, I pray today for each person here in the sanctuary and those that are listening at home virtually or through the radio program. God, how I pray that you would help each one to gain strength, to gain, Father, a new perspective on living, that we might be challenged today, oh God, to realize that you are the God of heaven and earth, that nothing ever happens in life that doesn't first sift through your hands. And then if you allow it, oh God, there is a reason, there is a purpose. It may never be known to any of us this side of eternity, but it will be known to you to further your kingdom's glory. Father, help us this day that we would allow the Spirit of the living God to move within our hearts and to keep us from all of the other things that crowd our minds and distract us. And Father, today we pause in praise and adoration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For the last 4 Sundays, we've been looking at a new series of sermons. We've been looking at an Old Testament king, perhaps one of the greatest of all who has ever lived, and from his experience in life, both the good as well as the bad, he teaches us life lessons that we can take and apply to our hearts and life. Last Sunday morning, we looked at giant killers. We looked at David slaying Goliath, a giant that was in his life, and we applied that to all of the giants that you and I encounter in our hearts and lives. There are giants out there everywhere that challenge our hearts, that challenge our minds, that challenge our faith, that challenge our Christian testimonies out there. All kinds of people deal with all kinds of giants in their lives, whether it's drug addiction or pornography or alcoholism, or whether it's envy or jealousy or strife, or whether it is marital issues, or whether it's issues dealing with relationships with your friends or relationships within your family, whatever it may be. We saw last Sunday morning that there are giants out there, and if we are going to slay the giants in our hearts and lives, then we're going to have to look to the one who gives us the power and the strength that we might meet those challenges and face them head on. This morning, as we look at another life lesson from David, King David, or who would become the king of the great nation of Israel, and this morning we see where revenge and love meet up. Where revenge and love meet up. Now, I'm sure that all of us here this morning have had at some time in our life someone that we wanted to get even with. Anybody out there ever wanted to get even with somebody? I see a bunch of heads nodding. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody did you a wrong song, and somewhere along the way, what they did to you, you want to get back at them. And as we continue these lessons on the life of David, in each instance, David looked at the situation. David, because he was a man after God's own heart, even though he was not a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination, he would have all kinds of family issues in his life. He himself would have a moral issue that brought him great grief in his heart and life. David was not a perfect person. When I look at the life of David and I realize that he was a person who loved God supremely, he loved God above everything else in all of his life, but David was not safe from the subtle temptations that Satan brings into our hearts and lives every day. There would be times David would rise above those. There would be times that he yielded and responded to those temptations. But in each instance of his life, we see that as he comes up against King Saul, Saul hated David with a purple passion, you might say. He absolutely despised David. There were moments in Saul's life that he was loving. There were moments that he seemed to appreciate David. And then there were other moments that a bitter spirit would come over him. An evil spirit would encompass him. And he would have these fits of jealousy, this poison that would run through him, and he set out to get revenge for what he did not like about David. But David, looking at Saul's life and with all the temptations, and there were a couple of times that David could have taken revenge upon the life of Saul, David chose not to do that. Even though tempted, David chose to do the right thing. Now, I believe that revenge is something that all of us are familiar with. In fact, somebody does you wrong, you want to do them wrong. Somebody hits you, you want to hit them back. Somebody messes with you, and you want to mess with them. But I'm here to tell all of us this morning, none of us is immune from wanting to take revenge. This morning, as we look at another event in the life of David, perhaps it was another of his finest hours of life. This event that we look at this morning, it wasn't out there in a valley slaying a giant, but it was an event that was won in a cave. It wasn't a giant that David is facing on the outside, but it's a giant that he's facing on the inside. There was something far more powerful than Goliath that was taking place, and it was revenge. You see, fighting Goliath took stepping up to the plate. Fighting revenge takes stepping down. Fighting Goliath took guts. Fighting revenge takes grace that Mona sang about a few moments ago. Fighting Goliath takes might, but fighting revenge takes mercy. And the story that unfolds for us this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 24 is really unexpected. If we went back a few chapters, we would find where David had slain Goliath the giant. You would think that that would have led to parades and rewards and medals and promotions and all kinds of accolades, and David would be living out there on Easy Street. But instead, in the aftermath of him killing the giant, it led to 10 years of pure hell for David. And the reason for that was after David had killed Goliath, he had won, of course, the Medal of Honor and bravery that we would give today. He had won all the awards that you and I would be able to confer upon anybody who had that type of courage. But because of all of that had happened, When David became popular, David was brave. David took heart. David took courage. David stepped up to the plate. But Saul was still the king of the nation of Israel. And there was a poison that all of us are familiar with here this morning. And it's called jealousy. David had become the number one enemy of King Saul. Now Saul saw David as a threat. Because in the line of kingship, Saul had a son named Jonathan. He and David were the very best of friends. In fact, we looked at that about 3 weeks ago. Their soul was knit together. They were soul brothers at every turn of the road. Saul realized that David was a threat to Jonathan. Jonathan really should have been the one in line to ascend to the throne once Saul no longer would be on the throne. But that's not the way that God had it planned. Let me tell you, David was more popular with the people than Saul's son, Jonathan, won. And David's star was rising, and Jonathan's sun was setting upon ever being the king. And so, blinded by hatred and this burning jealousy, Saul made killing David his number one goal in life. David had been made the chief musician. He played a harp, and Saul would call David in when he was going through his fits of passion with jealousy and hatred and revenge in his heart. David would come in, and David would play the harp, and there was something soothing about the music that would bring Saul back into line. But on this one day, as David's playing the harp for Saul, evil spirit came over him, and he threw his spear at David to try to kill him, but God did not allow that to happen, and Saul missed, and the spear hit the wall. Then when Saul realized that David loved his daughter Michal, and that Michal loved David, Saul consented to the marriage, but he asked for a request by David. It's a very interesting request that he would ask in Old Testament history there. There was the rogue nation of the Philistines. They were Israel's hated enemy. And so Saul said to David, "You can have my daughter Michal, but you've got to go out and bring me 100 foreskins of those Philistines." Well, being the person that David was, I'm sure that Saul thought that if David went out there to fight among those Philistines, that one of them would kill him. But since David is the type of guy that delivers always, David not only brought him 100, he brought Saul 200. Well, that didn't please Saul, so Saul hires a hit squad of his best soldiers to go and assassinate David while he's in bed. But David's wife, Saul's daughter, Michal, she found out about the plot. And so she warns David about that, and David's able to escape that event. Now Saul is more angry than ever before, and so he takes matters into his own hands, and he gets together his army, and he brings together at this point about 3,000 men. And if you will notice in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, in our text, it says, "After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, 'David is in the desert of Engedi.' And so Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. There in Engedi, that cave, there in that desert area, there were lots of springs of water. There were caves out there. In fact, there was one cave that was so huge, at one point there were 30,000 of Saul's men there at one point. But as you can see, David takes the opportunity. You see, Saul has gone into this cave, and it would look as if this would be David's great opportunity to take revenge upon the king who has sought to kill David's life. But there are three things this morning, and they're there printed in your bulletin. If you want to look at those, that you and I can take away today that is vitally important. A life lesson applicable from King David of many years ago, 3,000 years ago, young people. A lesson 3,000 years old, and yet it's as up-to-date as your textbook will be tomorrow when you go to school. Let me give you number one, honor the principle of integrity. Honor the principle of integrity. The story begins somewhat of, it's an embarrassing scene, young people. In fact, every time I read this story, I laugh. In verse 3, he came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Young people, he had to take a potty break. That's what he was doing. I think it's very interesting the Bible bears that out. But since it's a natural occurrence and a natural event, you all get the picture. Well, Saul, little did he know that David and his men were in that same cave. David has the great opportunity. In fact, his men will encourage David to take revenge upon Saul. Here's David's chance to get back, to get even with the one who had perpetrated, the one who wanted to kill him, the one who hated him, the one who was jealous of him. His popularity, his bravery, his courage. You see, even though Saul was tall in stature, he was small in character. And even though David was small in stature, he was huge when it came to integrity and character. Notice what happens in verse 4. The men said, this is David's army, his little group of 600 men that he had. And those men of David say, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Now, you really expect to see David put his sword right through Saul's backside, but he doesn't do that. Look in verse 4. Then David crept up. Remember, young people, Saul's having a bathroom break. He doesn't know that David's behind him in the cave. And David crept up unnoticed and he cut off a corner of Saul's robe. So why didn't David take this opportunity to seek revenge and to take Saul's life? I mean, after all, Saul had it coming to him that he had done all these things to David. But let me tell you, David honored the principle of integrity. Look, if you will, in verse 5. Afterward, David was very important, conscience stricken. Do you see that word there in verse 5? Afterward, after what, young people? David had reached down and cut off a piece of the king's robe. Saul didn't know what had happened. And after David had cut that off, verse 5 said, David was conscience stricken. Let me tell you, young people, this morning, something you really need to always remember. The moment you ask Jesus into your heart, and you sincerely mean it, and it's genuine, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit come to live in your heart. And let me tell you, it's the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that causes your conscience to know what is right and what is wrong. And in verse 5, David was conscience stricken. Oh, that this world this morning, all over the world, if the media, if all of the social media out there in the world were conscience stricken, what kind of world would you and I live in this morning? Let me tell you, David, remember, young people, he's just been a shepherd boy. He's just been out tending sheep. While he was out there one day, a bear comes to get his sheep. And David, through the power that God gave him, David killed that bear. A lion did the same thing. David killed that lion. Let me tell you, young people, David had a heart for God. And because he had a heart for God, he had a conscience. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would move at various times on various people in different ways. You and I live from the New Testament time when the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believer and never to leave the believer. But through the Old Testament, the Spirit would come and go at various times as God deemed necessary. David had an opportunity to take revenge on King Saul, but as soon as he just cuts that little piece of fabric from his robe, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of the living God moved within his conscience, and David was conscience stricken. Let me ask you a question this morning out there. What is dogging you this morning in your cave that you're in that you want revenge on somebody? I can assure you, in a crowd this size this morning, there would be people who would want to take revenge on somebody for something that they did. David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now, why is David so bothered? Why is he so upset? Why is David feeling so guilty? Why is it that David didn't kill Saul when he had the chance? Look in verse 8. Then David went out of the cave and he called out to Saul, "My Lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. How many of us have ever done that to somebody that did us wrong? How many of us ever looked at them with humility in our hearts as David did that day? Notice it says, David bowed down and prostrated himself. He put his face to the ground. Let me tell you, Saul is still the king. He's on the throne. Now, he may not be the kind of king that he needed to be. Nonetheless, he's still the king at this point. He's still David's king. There's an old saying that says, the customer is not always right, but he's still the customer. The king may not always be right. Let me tell you, folks, the president may not always be right. The king of a nation may not always be right. The queen of a nation may not always be right. But they are still in that position of leadership. Notice in verse 6, notice what happens. David says to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to," notice what he calls Saul, "my master, the Lord's anointed, or to lift my hand against Saul, for Saul is the anointed of the Lord." Let me tell you, young people, David knew that it was against God's law to kill the king. And that's something that God made very plain from the beginning. You do not honor or disrespect the king, much less murder the king. And when you're facing a choice of action in whatever your situation is, you can always know what to do by asking one simple question. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me do in this situation? You see, integrity is always doing the right thing. You see, all of David's men, young people, were looking at their options, and they were weighing the pros and the cons, and they were looking at the circumstances, and they were following their basic instincts, but they were not thinking about one thing: what is the right thing to do? Let me tell you, oftentimes, you know what? People will lead you astray. David's men looked at David and said, here's your chance. This is your opportunity. God said he was going to take care of your enemies. So here's your opportunity. Did you ever notice when people want to shore up something that they want to tell you? Well, the Lord told me to tell you. And I've had people do me that way before, and I've looked at them sometimes when my spirit didn't bear witness with theirs and said, well, why didn't he tell me? And isn't that the truth? I mean, if you want to get your point across, just say, the Lord told me. And boy, you know, you expect everybody to fall down on the ground. And, you know, let me tell you, David's men could have easily led him astray in that particular situation, young people. But I want you to know, David's conscious strickenness would not allow him to do that. He took the high road. There's the low road that most people take, but he took the high road. Look at verse 17. You are more righteous than I. Notice Saul. Saul says this to David. Can you believe it? I mean, he's after David. He hates him. He's in hot pursuit. Spent all these 10 years. He doesn't like David. He's jealous of David. Jealousy and envy and revenge has overtaken his mind. But notice what, when David bowed to him, when David prostrated himself to the ground and called him my master, my anointed, the anointed one of the Lord, notice what Saul says in verse 17 to David, you are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but notice what Saul said to David, but I have treated you badly. Let me tell you, this morning, honor the principle of integrity. Do the right thing. Secondly, this morning, honor the position of authority. There's another thing that David kept from taking revenge against Saul. Notice how he addressed Saul in verse 6. He says, my master, the Lord's anointed, the anointed of the Lord. But in verse 8, he refers to him as my Lord, the king. In verse 14, David calls Saul the king of Israel. Now, David was referring not to the person of Saul, but he is honoring the position of authority. The Marine Corps has a saying that goes like this, you don't salute the person, you salute the rank. In other words, you may not honor the person, but you honor the position that the person is in. And one of the marks of maturity is the willingness to get under God's authority so that you will always do what is the right thing. And here the right thing was the principle of authority. David knew that Saul was still the king, and as long as Saul was still the king, David realized that he was under the king's authority. Remember, young people, David has been anointed some 16 years earlier, just as a shepherd boy, by the prophet Samuel. When Samuel went down there and the Holy Spirit said, this is the one that's going to be the next king after Saul. David's been anointed to be the king. He's been appointed to be the king by Almighty God, but he is not in that position yet because Saul is still on the throne. And as long as Saul was the king, he was still, David was still under the king's authority. Let me emphasize something. That doesn't mean that you and I give in to wickedness. It doesn't mean we approve error on the part of the person in the position of authority. But what it means is that you always do what is the right thing to do. Now, I hear people say all the time, and hey, this is up for grabs for everybody, regardless of your politics. Somebody will say, well, that's not my president, or this is my president. You know what? It's about the position. It's about the position. That's why we pray for those that are in positions of authority. That's what God's word commands us to do. Let me tell you. Number one, honor the principle of integrity. It's the right thing to do. Number two, honor the position of authority because that's what the Bible says we are to do. And thirdly, this morning, honor the power of humility. Talk about going the second, the third mile. David does the unthinkable. At first, it's Saul who's in the most vulnerable position. But now David has got Saul in a far more vulnerable position. Look at verse 8. Then David went out of the cave. That's after he's already cut off part of the robe or the corner of it. David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down, prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Did you get that? Saul could now do to him whatever he wanted to do. David put himself in a vulnerable position. Saul could have come against him. But look at verse 6. He said to his men, David said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." Not only, young people, was he the anointed, he was the appointed of the Lord. And David honored the power behind all authority, which is God. David wasn't just bowing down to Israel's king Saul. He's bowing down to the king of Israel's king. And whether a ruler realizes or not, whether he or she realizes or not, behind every ruler is the power of Almighty God. Now let me tell you, that person may not be doing what God wants them to do, but as a great communicator put it, you do not replace what God has put in place. Let me tell you, that's to say, if God has thrown the person, nobody should dethrone the person but God. And so he honors the power of humility. Let me tell you this morning, look in verse 15. David said to Saul, "May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." Let me tell you, pride goes before a fall. Pride will take you down. When you take matters into your own hands, let me tell you, humility trusts matters into God's hands. And when you return evil for evil, you take matters not only into your own hand, you can return good for evil, knowing you can trust matters into God's hands. Our job is not to get even with anybody who does us wrong, but it's to stay ahead of them. Even Saul realized that in verse 17 through 20, as we close. Saul said to David, "You're more righteous than I. You've treated me well, but I've treated you badly. You have just now told of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you didn't kill me." When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? "May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today." Can you imagine King Saul that hated David so much that he came to the place where he said, "May the Lord reward you, David. May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands." Let me tell you this story this morning. This is a story of a man who was being treated like a criminal, but he acted like a king. And a man who was the king acted like a criminal. You see, the whole point of this Old Testament story was not what David could have done to Saul, but what David chose to do for God. King David's son Solomon would one day be the king of the nation of Israel. He penned these words in the book of Proverbs that says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies Do you get that, young people? God makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. This morning, revenge and love met in a cave 3,000 years ago. In a cave called Engaddai. One hated, one chose love. One chose revenge, and one chose love because of a conscience that was stricken, that was touched by the Holy God. Let me tell you, the next time you want to get revenge on your perpetrator, ask yourself the question, what would love do? What would love do? 1 Corinthians 13 says, now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. David met revenge that day, but David chose the high road to take love and love one out. Would you stand as we pray together? Father, this morning as we've looked at this Old Testament story, and oh God, it's incredible the things that we learn from something written so many years ago. And God, how it applies to our hearts and to our lives. And I pray this morning, oh God, whatever the revenge is in our heart that we want to seek on others, that we would humble ourselves and put it into the hands of Almighty God and let him take the course of action. For your word says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Father, we're so human, we want the repayment to happen now. But in your economy of time, that's not the way you do it. God, I pray today that each one of us would search through the inner recesses of our hearts, and whoever has wronged us or perpetrated something that has caused within us a heart of revenge, I pray, oh God, that love would overcast the revenge, that love would win out, because that is what is right. Father, if there's someone listening today, if there's someone out there today in the sanctuary that needs to trust you, Holy Spirit, speak to them and may they come and make a decision for you. If someone needs a church home today, oh God, I pray they would make this their church home. Father, this is your invitation, not mine. Holy Spirit, speak accordingly, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.